What's up, everyone? Welcome to a playoff edition of the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm Kyle Draper, joined, as always, by wannabe Kyle Draper, Aisha Rod Blakely. What's up? I snuck that in
there. Oh, you're trying to sneak that in there. It's all right, Kyle. You could be my mini-me today.
That's all right, man. Hey, people call me you enough already. I mean, I might as well adopt that, I guess. We got a big-time show coming up here on the Celtics Talk Podcast. Of course, we're going to break down the matchup with the Chicago Bulls. Scal will sit down with Isaiah Thomas as the Seas get ready for the playoffs. Plus, we'll hear from Mike and Tommy, and we'll talk with head coach Brad Stevens. But first, let's go behind enemy lines to enemy territory out to Chicago and talk to the CSN Bulls insider, Vinny Goodwill. All right, it's our pleasure to welcome in Vincent Goodwill, the CSN Chicago Bulls insider. What's up,
Vinny? What's up, nephew?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, man, I know you had to cancel your vacation plans. You ain't expect the Bulls to make it to the playoffs. How pissed are you about that?
Well, I'm going to say I'm pissed because I get to go to Boston and
get some Marriott points. I see.
With some great reporters. Not named Gary Washburn. It's a great thing to be back in the playoffs. It means that basketball Kardashian, that's me, that means maybe the curse is dead. If the Bulls make the playoffs for the, first time since missing it last year, maybe this means that the Vinny curse is actually dead. Because me and Secaucus, New Jersey are like synonymous, basically in terms of the draft lottery. So maybe the curse is dead.
Yeah, and just for clarify what he's talking about, he was in Detroit when Detroit was horrible. He got on the beat right after I left, and when I left, they were kind of nice. They were going to the conference finals or NBA finals every year. I come to Boston that first year, they go to the finals. So I'm like the anti-Kardashian.
Oh, see, so this has turned into not about Vinny, but about Aisha Rod Blakely.
Oh,
is that what's going on here?
Absolutely. Okay. You know what that's like, Drapes.
All right. It's all about winning, baby.
You live that every day.
I know.
Hey, but Vinny, real talk. You're talking about how, this being a return to the playoffs and all that. Rajon Rondo probably feels the same way as far as getting back to the playoffs. What kind of impact or effect do you think he's going to have on this series?
I think he's going to have a huge impact if he's allowed to. And what I mean when I say that is, Rajon, as you guys all know from dealing with him, is an acquired taste. He's one of those guys that you gotta let him rock. You can't micromanage him. You can't call every single play every time down. You have to deal with some of the mistakes, some of the risky passes that don't always find its mark. You have to kind of live with those mistakes because on the back end of it, you have a very dynamic player who can control a game in a way very few people this side of Chris Paul can without being a 20-point scorer at the point guard position. So when you look at the way that this Boston team plays and you see the fact that Isaiah Thomas is such an integral part of what the Boston Celtics do, if Rajon Rondo is able to keep him busy on the other end of the floor, throw him in multiple pick and rolls and getting switches and things like that, I think Rondo can make this series a little bit more interesting than it appears to be on paper.
Well, we saw Rondo a couple of weeks ago against Cleveland. National TV, Rondo was out in full force. All these games will be on CSN and national TV. In terms of, his relationship with Hoiberg, to me it seems like Rondo has won that battle. I mean, I think the Bulls understand if they really want to advance, Rondo is going to have to be a big part of that, Vinny.
Yeah, he is, because I mean, I think you guys all know. I don't think I'm alone in subscribing to the theory that if you have the best player in the series, that player can win you one game on his own. Mm-hmm. Generally, that player can get you one, right? And Jimmy Butler is that player who I think is the best player in the series. He can get you one. Now, if there's going to be more, then it's going to have to be Dwayne Wade giving you a game, and it's going to have to be Rajon Rondo doing what he does. The one thing about it is with Fred Hoiberg being in the playoffs for the first time as a coach, sometimes coaches like to let everybody know that they're in charge, especially when it's the national stage, especially when you're on TNT every night and you're at the podium and you really have to project yourself and sell yourself and craft a new narrative. if you feel like that you have to reassert some type of dominance or some type of order, that can directly affect how you call a game and how much control and freedom you let a guy like Rajon Rondo have, because he's so unique and he's not in the normal construct of an NBA point guard these days. There has to be sort of some give and some take there. And although Rondo has won the battle, so to speak, with the playoffs, a wrong call here or there, you can be out. So you wonder if Fred Hoiberg will try to take a little bit more control, or will he let Rondo just be Rondo?
One of the players that you mentioned a minute ago, Vinny, was Dwayne Wade. And, you know, just looking at his numbers statistically this year, this has been, let's face it, this has been one of the worst, if not the worst season he's had since he's been in the NBA. Career lows in a lot of categories. His return, is that a good thing for Chicago?
No, I think it's a really good thing. And I understand what you mean, because you're looking at the way that this Bulls team plays, Sherrod, and they're playing with generally Rondo, Butler, and floor spreaders, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that they've sort of been able to go on this little run, so to speak, when they had a four-game winning streak without Dwayne Wade when he first fractured his elbow, fractured bones in his elbow. But the thing is, guys, to me, when you have so many guys who have not been in the playoff setting, when you have so many players, all these guys with 3 years of experience or less, guys who have never been in the playoff series, and you're expecting them to walk into Boston Garden and to not be fazed by the atmosphere, by the fact there's a number one seed over there, by all these other things that the playoffs encompasses, you're going to need a guy like Dwayne Wade who's not fazed by the Garden, who's not fazed by the playoffs. And let's face it, the playoffs are a completely different ball game than 82. You're just focusing on one player, one team, win your matchup. I think that arouses sort of the competitive nature and the senses of a guy like Dwayne Wade, especially when the game slows down in the playoffs a little bit more than they do. Possessions are more value. You can play post-up basketball. You play isolation basketball. I think his game is more tailored for a playoff series than it will be for a random night in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, and that's what scares me about the Chicago Bulls, Vinny. You know, Sherrod probably got the Celtics sweeping this thing in four, but I'm going to take a more realistic view. When you have shot makers, when you have guys who are used to being on the brightest of stages, guys that won't cower under the pressure, like a Dwayne Wade, like a Rondo, like a Jimmy Butler, I feel like, you know what? Like you said, those guys can win a game individually. And if a game is close and it comes down to a final possession, I'm not so sure that, you know, the Celtics have a better chance to win than the Bulls. I always say, when you have a star player, whether it's Wade, LeBron, Durant, whoever, guys that can hit shots in tough situations, I'll take that any day of the week. And Chicago got two of them. The Celtics, to me, only got one in Isaiah Thomas.
I agree, but the one thing, Kyle, I'll say in that is Isaiah Thomas has always been 5'9". The playoffs aren't just the first time that he's been 5'9 in his career. So because he's used to being that, because he's used to playing the angles, because the Celtics are used to game planning around teams who want to take out the one shot creator in the fourth quarter, I think they're in a little better shape than maybe you give them credit for. Although I will say, in the playoffs, the name of the game isn't about can you make a shot. It's about can you get your shot. And I will say, I agree in a certain situation that Jimmy Butler is better adept at getting his shot at his size and being able to get to the line and manipulate contact. And certainly Dwayne Wade is one of the better guys at drawing contact and getting to the line, too. I would say that that makes them dangerous in a completely different way. It's just that so many of their inconsistencies throughout the season canceled out the late game execution that they could have been in position to win a few more games, to steal a few more games. And look, had Brooklyn played a different brand of basketball last night, the Bulls might not be in the playoffs. But had the Bulls played a little bit better against some of the more inconsistent lower-level teams, they wouldn't be an 8 seed. They could be a 5 seed, and that completely changes the narrative. But when you start the playoffs, it's 0-0, and when you have the best player and the best shot creator usually on the same team, usually we say that team has the advantage. This series, I think, happens to be an outlier.
Vinny, my man. When the trade deadline came and went, you know, everybody did what they felt they had to do. Some teams stood pat. Some teams made deals to make themselves better. And your Bulls traded Taj Gibson, the one dude that no matter who they saw in the playoffs, he was going to be the X factor in that series because of what he does on a night-in and night-out basis, and that's grind, grind, grind. What are they going to do without him in this playoff series? Because he was the one guy that the Celtics and a lot of teams had problems with because of his aggressiveness. Who's going to bring that? Because you know how it is in the playoffs. Things slow down. You need grinders, and they don't got one without Taj.
They do not have any grinders. I mean,
I know Nicola is your boy and everything, but he's not a grinder.
No, he's not a grinder at all. And no, he's not my boy. He is just Mr. March. I prefer to hang around dudes in basketball sense who call themselves Mr. June. And there ain't nobody in either one of these series who we can basically say is Mr. June right now. But when you talk about toughness, you can look at the Celtics team and you can say they got Horford and they got Amir Johnson and you got a guy like Jaylen Brown who I think has some real dog in him. You got Avery Bradley who we all know is a pit bull on the ball. And I don't just think you got to have grinders underneath the basket. I think you got to have grinders basically all over the floor. To me, that's where the Celtics team is going to make their money. Usually at some point in the third quarters of games, midway through the third quarter, a team starts to sort of assess their will. They start to sort of impose themselves on the other team, and usually the game in a series turns right around that point. I would not be surprised to see that type of thing happen here because Bobby Portis is young. He's in his second year. You can't expect him to be a grown man in that way. Nikola Mirotic, we know what he is. Robin Lopez is one, but he's the only one. When you talk about toughness, and you talk about grinding things out, this Bulls team has grinded out some wins, but it's been more of a collective thing as opposed to these guys following the lead of someone. And when you lose a guy like Taj Gibson, you lose a part of your collective DNA, even if you don't want that to be part of your DNA because the Bulls want to play run and gun. But when the playoffs come and the game slows down and possessions are valued, offensive rebounds matter, boxing out matters, those little things, putting a butt on someone actually matters. I think the Bulls may come up a little bit short in that area, along with the fact that they're inexperienced, along with the fact that they're inexperienced on the sidelines. So it's almost like basically a pick your poison type of thing, depending on which side you want to go. And it's certainly, I feel like the Celtics have the advantage in the toughness department.
Yeah, and I wonder if the Bulls need to win this playoff series to keep Jimmy Butler happy. What's his future? Is it dependent on this playoff series? Do you think it's already been decided? Are they going to move him off this offseason? What's your gut feeling telling you?
Kyle, you're asking me if the Chicago Bulls have a plan?
I wasn't going to break the news to him.
So they don't know what they're going to do.
Kyle, I tell you, you're a smart cookie over there. I don't think the Bulls. Here's my thing on this. If winning a game over the Brooklyn Nets, a team that was missing four out of their top six scorers, if winning a game over the Brooklyn Nets is going to alter your franchise direction on whether you decide to trade Jimmy Butler or not, or keep Jimmy Butler and build around him, then you really don't have a real sense of direction. Making the playoffs is an accomplishment in the micro, but in the macro, I don't know how much it means for the franchise. I think for Jimmy Butler, it means I dragged this undermanned team that you took away two supreme parts of this rotation from me, and I still dragged this team to the playoffs. I think that says more for his resume than the Chicago Bulls' overall resume as far as the front office and coaching staff. And I don't think they know what they want to do with Jimmy Butler. We can have this conversation. I feel like we reached a level of comfort because I'm a little bit younger than y'all, and y'all have been through this in a way that I haven't. So y'all go follow me on this scenario, okay? Follow your boy, all right?
Give us strength.
Follow your boy. Yeah, y'all just follow your boy. So you ever been dealing with a significant other type in your life? And you're not sure what you are, what you want, but you're not tripping on it, you're not sweating it. The problem is, she is. And one day she comes up to you, she says, Kyle, Sherrod, Benny, whatever, what are we? What are we doing here? Are we together? Are we going somewhere? Or are we just playing around? We just kicking. that's where the Bulls are right now with Jimmy Butler. And usually the answer to that question is, if a woman has to ask us where we're going or what are we, the answer usually is from us. you all right?
Yeah,
and that's where the Bulls feel about Jimmy Butler right now.
See, you going back. Though, I haven't had that feeling in like 20 years, though, young fella. I'm an old head now.
I said y'all have felt that feeling in y'all day. I didn't try to put a time element on it to say how recent or unrecent it was. But
oh,
I just wanted y'all to understand
where the love doctor was coming from.
Oh, the love doctor.
This was so not in the playbook, Vinny, but it's all good.
This thing has gone off the rails.
It makes sense, but I'm going to bring it back home because we got to go. We got to go on that note. Vinny Goodwill, CSN Insider for CSN Chicago. Vinny, thanks for coming on the Celtics Talk podcast. We'll see you up here in a minute. Stay safe and tell that girl what she need to hear. bring your business to our airwaves. Come on.
Sherrod and Diet Sherrod, appreciate y'all having me on.
Always a pleasure, man.
I'll let you get away with that one, Betty. Be safe, man.
I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Young nephew, Vinny Goodwill, man. You never know what you're going to get with him.
Man, I'm having a Mr. Miyagi moment right now. Just listen to how much Daniel's son has grown.
Dude,
we
talking basketball. He bringing up
love
advice.
About basketball and love, man.
Love just, advice.
My goodness.
Exactly.
Trying to be Chuck Willery on the air. What is wrong with that boy?
What's interesting is he's right, though. Chicago doesn't have an idea.
No.
So Jimmy Butler still could be in play for the Boston Celtics.
I think he's going to be in play for anyone who comes up with an offer that they feel good about. Chicago, at some point, they got to realize that they're not going anywhere. You got Jimmy Butler, and around him, you got
what?
Right. You got an aging Dwayne Wade, who right now is having one of his worst seasons ever statistically. And when you watch him play, it's obvious. Father Time is gaining ground. He's not Usain Bolt when it comes to Father Time.
He's still a good player.
He's not a great player. He's not a great player anymore. He's a good player.
But I'm scared of him. I'm telling you. Dude, he can hop in the hot tub time machine and get you 30 points one game.
I'm not.
He always plays against the Celtics.
My only concern about him is if Avery Bradley has some type of relapse, where Avery either gets sick or gets hurt.
Dude, if Avery gets hurt.
It's, ooh. Now you got a series.
Yeah.
Now you got a series. But if Avery can stay healthy, I think he can more than hold his own. Because the one thing about Avery that we haven't talked a lot about is how much his offensive game has improved. And I believe because of that, it's going to make his defense even better because he wears you out.
I mean,
you look at him. I mean, he's not as good as Ray Allen was, obviously, as far as moving without the ball. But Avery, he makes you work defensively way more than I think he has in the past.
Yeah, and the key, though, might be, can Chicago stop Isaiah Thomas?
No.
Yeah. I don't think they have the – like Rondo, he's up there in age. He never really was a good on-the-ball defender either. And so
he had us fooled, man, because he got a bunch of steals.
Right, he got a bunch of steals playing the passing lanes. But I think Isaiah is going to have his way with this Chicago Bulls team. Speaking of Isaiah, let's check in with our own Brian Scalabrine, who had a chance to sit down with IT as the Celtics get ready for the playoffs.
Reflect back on the season. When you started out this season, what were your goals, and did you meet those? You're a top five player in the NBA right now. You're gonna be top five MVP voting. Is that something that you thought going into the season?
I actually did. A lot of people probably wouldn't believe me, but I write down my goals individually and as a team before each season, and I've hit probably every one of them, not just as an individual, as a team goes as well. And I think that's just with me. I've always tried to speak things into existence. I've been big on that. And this year has been a special year.
Do you have postseason goals? Did you write down your postseason goals at the beginning?
Yes,
of the
I did. I want to at least get past the first round. I want to take baby steps and see where we're at when that happens. But I definitely want to get past the first round and see what that's like. What
did you learn last year about being in the playoffs?
Last year that playoffs are tough. That was probably the hardest I've ever worked in games in my life. I gave it my all, and it just made me work that much harder in the offseason, knowing that I need to get a lot better. And I'm ready for this year's playoffs, and I know my team is ready.
Now, that's interesting. When you're at the level that you're at right now, you're beyond what you can do night in and night out. You're all now only judged on winning. It's the only thing that matters at this point. But you need your guys to come along with you. So how do you balance your leadership and motivation?
Balancing my leadership is remaining confident in my guys, giving them confidence and showing them that I am confident in them. Because I know without them, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in right now. And I know without them, we're not going to advance to anywhere. So I need my guys to be ready. And I know they will be. So I remain confident in those guys. And they remain confident in me. And we go in it all together. So we're looking for a good playoff run this year. And hopefully we can go far.
How do you pick your moments when, like, the ship's not going the right direction? How do you pick your moments to bring a guy along or, you know, get into a guy?
I mean, as a leader, you got to know who you can somewhat yell at or who you can really get at in front of everybody and who you got to bring to the side and be like, man, you got to do this a little better, but I believe in you and you're going to get it right. So there, as a leader, you know those different types of guys on your team. And for the most part, I mean, everybody responds well to the things that I say, but I also tell them as a leader, when I'm not doing the right things, you guys can get on me as well because I'm not perfect and I'm going to make mistakes as well.
How important is the number one seed to you?
For me, it's very important. I mean, a lot of guys say it's not that important to them, but I mean, a lot of people can't say they were number one seed. And I know a lot comes with that, but we're ready for that.
Going into the playoffs, you know how teams are going to play you. You know it's a more physical game. Does your preparation change as you enter the playoffs after game one, game two, making adjustments?
Yeah, I think the playoffs is about making adjustments because, I mean, teams are going to throw different things at you, but you got to be able to adjust. And all the great players and the great teams adjust faster than the other teams. And I think one thing we didn't do last year, we didn't adjust as players. Like, coaching staff got us prepared to adjust, but for whatever reason, we didn't adjust quick enough. So this year is going to be big on adjusting. I mean, whether we're up 1-0, 2-0, or down 2-0, you got to adjust and figure out what the other team's doing and capitalize on that.
Now, I think as the season went on, you got better and better at picking your moments. All right, I need to go now. I can back off a little bit. Playoffs are different. Are you going to have that more of a full throttle mentality, or you still have to sort of pick and choose your moments?
Sometimes you got to pick and choose, but I mean, for the most part in the playoffs, you got to empty the clip. You can't leave nothing in there because you got to give it your all each and every possession. And one thing about the playoffs, every possession counts. Like, you know, in the season, as you've been a player before, sometimes you take possessions off even though you don't mean to. But in the playoffs, whether it be the first quarter or the last possession of the game, like, they all count, and it's that more serious.
You guys go 0-2 in Atlanta, come back here. The most, and I've won a championship in that building. The building was magical game 3 and 4, and you were special that day. How do you bottle that up and continue that throughout the playoffs?
You got to. Like you said, it's magical here. So even being the number one seed, that gives us an extra boost because we know we got the best fans in the world behind us. And we know when we do play at home, we're going to have the energy. We're going to have the excitement, and we're going to bring it our, give it our all. And I think that's only going to help us because, like I said, we do got the best fans in the NBA, and it shows.
Once you guys became the number one seed, I don't know if you guys played the same type of edge. And you got behind, now you came back, and now you're number one seed again. Is there pressure? And I'm going to throw as a group, not necessarily you. It didn't seem like you were bothered by the pressure. Was there pressure on being, you know, the hunted versus the hunter?
I think you could say there is pressure just because we've always been the team that hunts other teams.
Yeah, I mean, you're the 60th pick.
Exactly.
Jay Crowder's like, you guys didn't want me. I mean, like, everybody on this team is like, the guy's like, forget you guys. You don't think I'm good? I'm gonna show you. Now all of a sudden you're number one and people are chasing
exactly.
you.
So
how
it's
different was it?
So it's a lot different. We've had talks in the locker room about certain games that we lost when we've been the number one seed or whatever it may be, and we're like, man, that game felt different. Like, it's because those teams are coming at us like we came at the other teams, and we just gotta, being number one again, we just gotta know, okay, we gotta be ready for no matter who we play, we gotta be ready. We're the bullseye now, and we gotta understand that.
Where would you vote yourself for MVP? Like keeping it real all the way. Like not the Isaiah
Yeah,
of course I'd be the best. You know, I want to know. Like, first of all, it's an unbelievable two-horse race, right? You are in the conversation, but those guys are. So where? How do you see this playing out? I want five picks.
Yeah, we're keeping it real. You want five?
Yeah, five guys. And think about all of it, right?
Yeah.
Team, everything.
Okay.
You're a media guy. You got to fill out your five.
I'm gonna go with Westbrook.
One.
James Harden.
Okay.
Isaiah Thomas. LeBron James. And I got Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Kawhi Leonard and then LeBron James.
You are.
Yeah.
That's a good sound bite. Yeah.
All right, that was Scal and Isaiah right there. And, you know, so much talk about Brad Stevens and this Celtics team needing to win a playoff series. A couple years ago, Isaiah had never been to the playoffs. Does he need to, I guess, reach that superstar status by winning in the postseason, you think?
Yeah, I think to establish himself as one of the top 15, top 20, top 25 players, he needs to, at the very least, win a playoff series. I mean, you know, we talk about a guy like, let's say, Paul George, for example. If Paul had not won a playoff series, we wouldn't think of him as one of those top five, top 10-ish players. So that's the next level for Isaiah Thomas, to win a playoff series, because let's face it, in the past two, there's been a significant drop-off in terms of his production.
Right.
And give credit to the teams that have defended him. They've done a really good job of locking in on him. But he found something this year, though. He found something.
He found Al Horford helping him out.
He found Al Horford. He found Jay Crowder. He found a bunch of guys around him now where teams, you know, before when Isaiah would give the ball up, no one was shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
And now guys are confident in making shots and making plays.
Well, what's interesting about Isaiah and the Celtics, the first year, they admitted they were just happy to be there.
And they were.
What happened last year?
They were the fifth seed. They played when there was a four-way tie, and we talked about this at the time, there was only one of those other three teams that you could look at and say, man, they could be problems. Atlanta.
But hold up, Shry. You're saying that now. I don't recall you saying that
Drapes,
back then.
We had that conversation.
Nah, dude. I remember the narrative was, Atlanta's never won anything. That's a crappy sports city. Celtics, this
they
is
are
Boston.
A crappy sports city. And if you remember, just a few years prior to that, they took the championship Celtics to seven games. So it's like they didn't have guys. That's why we said that Atlanta was the Boston Celtics only better. That was the narrative going into that series.
But I bring this up because I'm hearing some of the same comments this year that we heard last year.
What?
That we're no longer just happy to be there. We know, you know, we're trying to win it this year.
Well, they were trying to win it last year.
Well, but it failed. And so I don't want to hear the same things. They got to know the pressure's on them, Sherrod.
Well, the pressure wasn't on them much last year because, one, they weren't starting off at home. So the lower seed, obviously, you're going to have to win a game on the road to get home court advantage. Two, Avery Bradley was not healthy. Kelly Olynyk wasn't healthy. And those are two key guys. When you think about what they want to do this year, those guys are healthy. You got the number one seed. There really is no excuse because you're a deeper team now than you were a year ago. So even if you have one or two guys hurt, you've been playing with one or two guys hurt all season long. So it's not like
if that happens,
it's going to be like, what are we going to do now? You've been doing it all season. That's why the pressure is on them to get out of the first round, because there really is no excuse, even if you lose one or two guys, because you found ways.
If you lose to Chicago,
it's a failure.
That's a failure.
It's a failure. Right. And I have been hitting that hammer for weeks. If they don't get out of the first round, it's a failure.
You ain't the only one that said that, bro.
No, I think it's been
within the organization, they won't admit that, but it's a failure. I mean, every year you've taken a step forward. The next step is winning a playoff series. Chicago barely got in. They needed a win over Brooklyn.
Over Brooklyn's
like
JV team.
Exactly, just to get in the playoffs. So they got to win this series. All right, that's what we think. But what about Mike and Tommy? What do those guys think as the Celtics get ready to take on the Bulls Sunday in Game 1? Let's hear from them right now.
First, your overall expectation level for this team.
Well, looking at this basketball team, it's been growing and getting better each week. And it started off where you're looking at potentially a really good basketball team, but injuries took its toll early, plus a lot of road games. When they put the nucleus together, 25-10. But what happened during the course of all of that and the injuries, they got a chance to develop players and still win. So going into the playoffs right now, I think everybody's got an idea of what their role will be on this team playing in a series.
Do you expect the defenses to be just focused completely on Isaiah, trying to stop Isaiah?
Well, I think it's going to, the word is going to be physical with him. And so we're going to see him bounce off the floor a lot. And I hope the Celtics are emailing the league office to double check so we get the little guy a chance to finish the series.
You talk about being physical. Can Marcus Smart be the wild card in this series?
Marcus Smart adds something to this basketball team as toughness and very competitive. If he plays his normal game, where he doesn't have to score 20 points, but he has to have a decent offensive game, he will be big. The other guy is Olenek. Olenek, the other night, just played the perfect way he should play in the playoffs. Take the shots when they're there, his shots, and make them. Because when he comes in off the bench, they really don't have a real offensive star. So they can struggle. And it what happens is like somebody just threw sand in the offensive machine. It just stops. So somebody's got to pick it up, and Olenek is probably that guy.
What about Jaylen Brown? He is a rookie, but he probably will get minutes.
Jaylen Brown is going to be like a deer in the headlights, okay? His first experience playing in a series. You know what happens with young players when you're in a series? You win a game, and you want to go buy the champagne right away. And you lose a game, and you think the world is over. I mean, the secret for doing well in the playoffs, to keep it even keel emotionally and be able to adjust intellectually to what the game plan will be and how it changes. And sometimes rookies have difficulty dealing with the emotional and the intellectual aspects of series.
You had great experience as a coach. How much different is it where you see a team maybe seven times over a period of 2 weeks as opposed to the regular season?
Well, every time you play a game, the next game is going to be different. And they'll spend innumerable hours searching out your weaknesses, this other team, and try and capitalize on them. And they try to be aggressive with you. So you got to, the coaching staff really has to get it together and say, how are we going to adjust? Now, you want to keep your basic offense and defense, and so that you're not making these grandiose changes in what you're trying to do, but little tweaks here and there, if at all possible. So the coaching staff... this is the chance for them to shine, too. Last year, they in the playoffs, they made it, and that was Brad Stevens' first shot at playing a series of games in the playoffs.
All right. Should be fun. We'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. Hopefully, there's two, three, four more weeks of
basketball. Absolutely. More basketball.
All right, Mike and Tommy, those guys will be on the call for Game 1 Sunday at the TD Garden. So, Brad Stevens, he's yet to win a playoff game. I asked him the other day, does he feel any pressure?
You grilled him the other day.
I tried to. I tried to.
You went hard at him.
I tried to.
Treated him like he was Fred Hoiberg or something. Like, he don't know what he's doing.
Like, which, so, are you saying I wasn't respecting the coach? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm saying you went hard at him.
But, no, he said he felt no pressure. But should... should there be some pressure on Brad to get a W in the first round?
You're the number one seed?
Right.
I don't listen. As if you're the number three, number four, there's pressure. But you know what? It's so close, anything can happen. As the number one, you're playing the worst team to get into the postseason. Call it what it is. You are the best team record-wise. And really, if we're talking about just, you know, if you were to just rank the teams based on their ability, strengths, all that, they'd be second or third in the East.
Right, right.
Cleveland would be number one. You could make an argument, maybe Toronto.
I like Toronto
but
at two, yeah.
As the number one seed, there is no excuse
but
for you to
they,
get bounced.
But with that being said, that kind of pressure, they aren't used to that. Can they handle that?
I'm not that worried about Brad handling that because, listen, he coached Butler to the national championship game. Not once, but twice.
Yeah.
So, I'm not worried about how he handles pressure. I'm worried about guys like Jaylen Brown. I'm worried about guys like Jonas Jerebko. I'm worried about, you know, Isaiah Thomas, who for the first time is going into the postseason with legitimate, undeniable pressure to get the job done. I don't know how they're going to handle that. I don't know if they're going to see those lights a little bit brighter than usual and say, ooh, you know.
Gary Tangway peeking in as we tape this. Dude, we're taping our show.
Goals in six.
This guy, anti-homer over here. 99% of the people say Celtics are going to win. The one guy that – and Gary, hold up now. Come on in, Gary. Come on
in.
Not
that you're in the building.
Because, because just a few years ago, you were to host the Celtics pre- and post-game live.
Stabbed me in the back.
No, that's true. Now, that is true. But if you were in my role right now, what would you be saying?
What I would be saying if I was in your role is that the Celtics have played a terrific regular season, but the Bulls worry me. Because if Rondo looks for revenge, if Wade decides to play after really not doing much during the regular season, and Butler's the best player on the floor, I think the Bulls could give him a hard time. I think it is dangerous to look past the Bulls. I think if the Bulls play to their – now, this is just me talking. I think if the Bulls play to their capability, because all the Bulls' problems, it's all off-the-floor stuff. I mean,
but they don't have shooting, Gary. You got to have shooting.
And the Celtics do?
Better than
they're one of the top shooting teams in the league,
I mean, okay, so Isaiah has done what in the playoffs?
If
Isaiah doesn't do anything in the playoffs, Isaiah's got to carry them through this first
right.
series.
Oh, yeah,
so I'm looking at Jimmy Butler,
sure.
And I'm looking at Isaiah.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler scares the hell out of me.
So is Jimmy Butler a better player than Isaiah Thomas?
Yes.
Walk off right there. Walk off moment.
Drop the mic.
Drop the mic, baby.
You still hate Isaiah Thomas. Didn't y'all settle that beef from a year ago? All right, man. Get out of here. Well, next time I'm going to walk on our Bella Early Edition. Interrupt your show.
I love your show.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Gary Tangway. Trying to get up in the mix here. But, all right. That's enough of the peanut gallery. Let's check in now with the head coach, Brad Stevens. He stopped by for a talkback interview with us on our Celtics preview show. Here's what Brad had to say.
We are joined now by the head coach himself, Brad Stevens, from Waltham Live. Coach, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations. Looking back, what do you remember about that first season and the slogging through the 25 wins, and how much different are you as a coach now?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm much different. Obviously, you hope to improve every year, but one of the things I learned about that year, because I had been fortunate to never have had a tough year before, in my 6 years at Butler, one of the things I learned is that it's the same process as when you're really good. You just come to work the next day, you prepare, you try to get ready to do your job as well as you can and prepare your team the best you can so that they can win the next game. That process, that day-to-day focus doesn't change whether you're in the middle of building something or, you know, you're able to be a little bit more consistent with regard to result. But, you know, when I first got here, it was about 7 or 8 days after the Carnett-Pierce trade. And so we knew that there was going to be some building, and we knew that there was going to be potentially tough times, but at the same time we were really committed to just trying to grow day by day, get better, and just try to put our best foot forward every time we took the court.
Coach, you have the majority of the guys in your top six, top seven, guys who've been around the program for a while. How much does that experience, those guys having gone through playoff battles before, how much do you think that can help you as you guys embark on this latest playoff run?
Well, I think every year is its own entity. I think certainly, you know, we've had a bunch of guys that went from having no playoff experience to now played in a couple of playoffs. I think then you add Al Horford, who's played in 9 straight seasons in the playoffs, and so you have a little bit more experience. But, hey, that's only as good as you play. And so our focus is not necessarily on anything but trying to get ready to play Chicago, and you know, we know that's going to be a great challenge.
Hey, Coach, how do you prepare for this team? You have a team before the trade deadline that didn't shoot the three well, but since Mirotić got in the starting lineup, really, I mean, they're lights out, number one in the league. Also, their defensive rating has gone up, but they're rebounding, something that really gave you guys a ton of problems early in the season, has dropped off. I mean, this team is like a tale of two completely different teams. What are you preparing for?
Well, I think you have to – I don't think that just because their rebounding numbers aren't maybe what they once were, that they've given us fits on the glass, and we've got to be tremendous on the defensive glass. We know that first and foremost. And then we just have to be very good in our closeouts, making sure we're very solid in our closeouts, contesting shots without fouling. And they have good players. They're going to make some shots. And at the same time, we need to make it as difficult as possible. We need to try to make it so that they have to go through us to try to score. And if you're able to do that more often than not, you give your chance a better or you give yourselves a better chance at success. Certainly nothing guaranteed when you're talking about this level of talent that you're playing against. But I think ultimately that's what our focus is. Our focus is on controlling those little things and trying to contest every shot.
Coach, congrats on the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference. Knowing your guys like you do, how do you feel they'll react to being the hunted instead of being the hunter?
Nah, we're not looking at it like that. I mean, I guess if people were paying attention to that type of talk, then I'll be surprised. I think that at the end of the day, our guys are going to be excited to compete and looking forward to compete. And you know, the guys in the other locker room have won a lot of playoff games, have really made a big impact on championship teams. When you talk about Rondo and Wade, have one of the best young players in the game in Jimmy Butler, who's made an impact in the regular season and in the playoffs. We're focused on playing well to win, and we're going to approach every game like it's an opportunity to compete.
With these guys in the big names, Rondo coming back, Butler's level, Dwayne Wade, MVP of the finals, like you mentioned, what's most concerning to you about this team?
Nah, I mean, they're really good players. There's no question about it. Obviously, they played great in their last two games here of the regular season. And, you know, when you talk about taking care of business, it's one thing. But when you talk about two scores like the last two scores they played and they had, it's really impressive. These guys are really talented. As you said, not only the guys you mentioned, but Mirotić shooting the ball, Lopez rebounding and scoring in the post. And then they've got good bench play who, you know, have spent a lot of time as starters throughout all their injuries. So it's going to be a great challenge. We know that. And we're going to have to prepare well to have a chance to win.
Brad, we talked a little bit earlier about just, you know, having a lot of your core guys who've kind of been there, done that, as far as having some sense of what the playoffs are like. But you've got some young guys like Jaylen Brown, for example, where this will be his first kind of four-way into the playoffs. How do you get a young guy to understand just how different the playoffs are from the regular season?
Well, you're going to touch on it. You're going to talk about it. You're going to show it on film, et cetera, et cetera. He's going to get a chance to watch a couple of playoff games on Saturday and see what it looks like from the TV standpoint that we're not involved in. But I don't think there's anything like being in it. And so the first couple of minutes will be his best education.
Brad, obviously with the number one seed and just the way this season has gone, expectations are high for this team. I know that you don't listen to any of that outside stuff, but I'm curious, in your mind, what would be a success this season?
I just want to win the next game, Abby. I really don't care about anything else. I know that sounds crazy. The reason we have expectations is because the guys in this group have done a lot of great work. And I think that those are the kind of expectations you want. You don't want expectations put on you because of you haven't done anything during the regular season. You want it because you've been consistent, you've played well, and you've competed every night. And that's a testament to our guys. So if expectations what's come with that, then that's great. Our focus is on trying to beat Chicago, and that's going to be a tough enough task.
And Coach, is there one area where we can look at the box score or look at how the game goes to figure out whether you guys are going to win or lose or not? Is there one stat that you can point to and say, if we do this thing, we can win these games and win this series?
Well, I think once you point to one, something else bites you. So you have to do everything well. You have to make sure you're good in every area. There's no doubt that the offensive glass has hurt us against them, and we need to be great on the glass to have a chance to win. But, you know, right when you take your focus on taking care of the ball or not getting back in transition or not closing out appropriately, you know, on down the line, then those things come back to bite you. You got to do everything well. It's the playoffs. They're really good teams, really good players. They run good stuff. You just have to play well.
I have no doubt you guys will be prepared. Brad, thank you so much for giving us your time. We'll let you get back to work.
All right, Celtics head coach Brad Stevens joining us on the Celtics preview show for the NBA playoffs. I think there is pressure on Brad. He won't admit it, Sherrod, but so far he's been a good regular season coach. Some would say that Budenholzer outcoached him last year in that Atlanta series to an extent. I don't know if you'll go that far, but, you know, it was like a chess match, and you know, Atlanta came up with the ultimate move at the end, and
well,
it worked.
Well, Bud is a good coach. Yeah, I mean, you look at his coaching tree coming from that San Antonio Spurs organization. He's clearly he does a good job, but he had a healthy roster. I would have liked to have seen how Atlanta would have performed if, let's say, Al Horford wasn't healthy and maybe Kyle Korver or – you know, Bazemore, two of their key guys were not healthy.
We're out. Yeah.
Could he have been as successful? I don't think so. I think the coaching matchup in this thing is going to be a push. I think they're both equally talented.
In this one, Hoiberg,
you're thinking
Budenholzer. Yeah, last year.
That would be equal. Now
this
Hoiberg,
year,
no.
I think Brad has him.
It's varsity versus freshman with this one. And we all know who the rookie is in that.
Yeah. All right, so what's your prediction here, man? What
Celtics
do you got?
Celtics in five. I think it's going to be – they're going to have a couple of nail-biters that they're going to squeeze out. They're going to lose one in Chicago, which they should. But they're going to win this thing in five. They understand that they got to come ready to play. They got to come ready to put these guys away, and I think they can do it in five games.
I got Celtics in six. I just think – like Vinny was saying, Jimmy Butler's good enough to win one game. I think every game's going to be tight, too. I don't think, you know, the style Chicago plays, it's not like they get up and down. There's not going to be a whole lot of possessions. And so I think it's going to be a tight series.
But the one thing that we always know in every playoff series is there's that one player who exceeds expectations, and they become a difference maker. Like the Atlanta series you were talking about, I thought that guy was Bazemore.
Yeah, Bazemore.
He was without question the guy that the Celtics, they just weren't able to – you know, really corral him. I don't see anybody as I look on that Bulls squad that has that potential.
What?
No.
Rondo?
He doesn't count. He's a damn four-time All-Star.
I know, but
I'm talking about guys.
Let's break it down then. Let's go roster by roster. Who's that guy on the Celtics?
That's guys, plural. Jalen Brown could be that
no,
guy.
No, dude, Oliver, I know Jalen's your guy. Boy. Jalen's going to get 10 to 15 minutes a game, if that. Jalen's not going to be
I said
a big
plural.
Factor.
Listen,
all right, so give me somebody else. Go
people
ahead.
May think you're Sherrod, but you're not Sherrod. I am the real Sherrod, so you don't know what I'm thinking, all right?
All right, young fella. All right, so you got Jalen.
You've got Jalen as a possibility. I think Kelly Olynyk, a healthy Kelly Olynyk, which we have not seen.
Are you really banking on Kelly?
Yeah, I'm a bank
I know,
on Kelly.
I know he's your
you
guy.
Know
I like
you know
Kelly
why?
A lot.
You know why? Because he started to realize what we've been talking about all season long.
He's been inconsistent.
It's a contract year, boy.
Exactly.
This is your time.
Look at he's averaging less than 9 points per game, 8.9 points per game or whatever it was.
This is a
down year for Kelly Olynyk. Instead of, you know,
you make it sound like his stock, he's like at the bottom. He's only been a 10-point per game for his career.
No, but I don't think he's
like
helped his. I don't
he's
think he's
like
helped his stock when it comes to a new contract. He did not take that step forward that I think the Celtics were hoping for.
This season, I agree with you. Playoffs, I think it'll be a different matter.
All right, we'll see.
Because we're talking playoffs now.
And so
we're not talking about regular season. We're not talking exhibition season. We're talking playoffs.
Who can you count on? Let's go each team before we get out of here. Who can you count on night in and night out, each team?
For Chicago, Jimmy Butler.
Dwayne Wade.
You cannot count on him every night, and you know it.
His numbers are better than Avery Bradley. He's averaged more points than Avery Bradley this season.
He makes less of an impact than Avery
Come
Bradley.
Come on, you crazy. You're talking about a three-time champion.
You're talking about a guy
12-time All-Star, a Hall of Famer. You better respect Dwayne Wade.
Who's getting 16 points a game, and when I look on the side, oh, wait, Avery Bradley's getting you 16 points a game.
Dude,
Avery's an elite defender. Wade, not so much. So let's
but
see.
Wade,
same point production,
Wade
one's a better defender.
Wade averages 28 points per game against the Celtics in the playoffs. Wade has been there before. Wade has won hit big shots, won titles. You're not giving him enough credit for that.
You're
not giving him enough.
You're doing his 30-for-30 retrospective.
All right, I can't wait. I wish they could play right now because you're disrespecting Dwayne Wade. What about Rondo? You're about to disrespect him too, aren't you?
You know why? You know why? Because I've seen Rondo when the minute you think he is down and out and you're ready to put that last shovel of dirt on him, he has that ability to rise from the ashes.
He might be the X Factor.
He could potentially be the X Factor. But I tell you what, though. He's going to need help with Isaiah. He's going to need a lot of help. And a guy like Jay Crowder, for example, is probably going to get a lot of open looks. The way Brad has kind of tweaked his minutes where he's playing more with that second unit and kind of being that offensive, you know, guy for them. He could be an X factor. My point is this, Drapes. When you go down both rosters, the Celtics have more guys that they may not have the experience of a Dwayne Wade, but they are better players. And last I checked, when you get to the playoffs – and that other team, and you have the advantage.
They've been better regular season players. I want to see how guys react in the postseason. The Jay Crowders, the Kelly Olynyks, the Jarebkos, the guys you're mentioning. It's a different ball game.
It's a different ball game.
And Isaiah's going to need those guys to make shots and impact the game.
And I think it'll happen.
And if they don't.
Oh, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
But I like their chances better than the Bulls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I said Bulls in six, so we agree on that. But I think it's going to be
Celtics in six.
I mean, Celtics in six. Yeah,
you just
said
Bulls in six. Y'all heard that, right?
Nah, nah.
Y'all heard
they
going to
play that
Bulls
clip. They're going to edit. They're going to play that clip. Oh,
as
Drapes is saying, nah, I think Celtics in six.
Tweet that out right now.
All right, let's get out of here. Make sure you check us out. Every game of this series is right here on CSN. Every game. Dude, why are you still caught up on that, man? I'm trying to get the promo read here and everything. We got a one-hour pregame before every game. I'll be joined by Scal, Tommy, Sherrod, Abby, Mike. We got the whole crew. Make sure you subscribe to Celtics Talk, the podcast on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, and all the podcasting apps. For Sherrod Blakely, I want to say thanks to Vinny Goodwill, Isaiah Thomas, Brad Stevens, and Kwani. Kwani been sitting here. She's been producing this whole thing. Say what's up, Kwani. At least give a shout-out. I know you got a shout-out to give.
Hello, everyone.
See,
that's my shout-out.
You know what's going to happen. Everybody's going to be like, dang, dude, y'all got to have Kwani on more often. You hear her voice?
Yeah,
I like her voice. What's her name?
All right, man, let's get out of here. We'll see you throughout the playoffs on the Celtics Talk podcast.